then all of you today. Dave's cut off, but that's okay. You can see him right here. We have four kiddos. That's an extended family. There we go. We have four kiddos. We have Levi with the, it's green hair, really. Just for fun. He's a YouTuber. He likes to have a presence. Mary's on the right. So Levi's 22. Mary's 20. Hannah is in the middle with the cute dress on, and she is 18. Those three are in college right now, so we have three in college at the same time. And then the one with the tie is Silas. He's 15. So that's what I've been doing most of my life. And yeah, thank you. It's been fun. So Dave's actually doing most of the sharing this morning, so here you go.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sweetheart. Well, it has been a great weekend. I want to invite the kids to come up front. I want you kids to come on up here. You can sit in the front row. You can sit in the front chair. Or on the front floor, yes? All right. You guys can just park it right there, all right? Cool. So I'm doing the adults a couple of favors. One, taking care of you for a little bit. And two, they're kind of thinking, hey, this isn't going to take very long, because these guys aren't going to last very long. I beg to differ. What's your name? Sam? Hey, Sam, good to see you, dude. Nice handshake. You keep a handshake like that, look them in the eye, you'll get the job every single time. Okay, I'm curious, is anybody 7 years old here? Oh, you're seven? Only 1 7-year-old. All right. Hey, you guys want to come over here? Come over here so people can fire code and stuff, you know? All right. Cool. Hi, Beckett. We've been hanging out all weekend. Good to see you, man. Okay, that's okay. My own kids are a little hesitant sometimes. Well, it's good to see you guys. Okay, you guys are going to need to pay attention because I've got some things that you might miss if you don't pay close attention. So I want to tell you a few things about this morning. I have a grandma. Does anyone else in here have a grandma? Okay. I have many grandmas. And the older they get, the slower they get. And my grandpa died a while ago. And does anyone ever have a grandparent die before? Okay. Yeah, sometimes that's not fun. All right. But we were at the cemetery, the graveyard where he was buried, and my grandma was there, and she was 90 years old. And she was taking us through there, and this is in Pennsylvania. And she said, oh, David, this is where Pop is buried. And she started telling us about all the fun things that they used to do. And I got to tell you something about my grandparents. In their entire lives, they never owned a TV. They never knew what Netflix was. They never owned a microwave oven. And she drove her car until she was 93 years old. She drove it to church every week, and she drove it to the grocery store, and she always had ice cream in her freezer. So although when we went to visit Grandma, we missed the microwave, we missed the TV, but we always got to eat ice cream, and it was so great. So we're at the cemetery, and she's talking about and telling, oh, and so many people had died before her, because she recognizes so many of these names that are in the cemetery, and she's telling me all these stories, and then she points down the hill at this old brick building, and she says, David, that there's the meeting house. And I said, okay, Grandma. And she's like, nowadays, people call that the church. Ho, but that's not the church. We're the church. The church isn't a building. The church is the people. That, David, is the meeting house. And I'll tell you what. You're never too old to teach somebody. And you're never too young to learn. I realized then that was not the church. The church is not a building. The church is not this place. It's a place that the church comes to. And you know who the church is? The church isn't a place. The church is people. It's you and me. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. And I think it's awesome. God loves to demonstrate the family life in the kingdom of God by the way that we live as families here. So I think it's pretty cool that you guys are all here. I'm curious, does anyone here have a pet? Raise your hand if you got a pet. Anyone out here have a pet? Okay. Got to keep the dads awake too, okay? All right. Anyone out here have a pet? All right. What kind of pet do you have?
cat.
A cat. How many cats?
One.
And what's your cat's name?
Sasha.
Tasha?
Sasha.
Sasha. Okay, okay. Now, what's something that you do to take care of your pets? All right? What's something that... Raise your hand if you... What's something you do? You feed them. Okay, what's something else? Raise your hand. Yes, sweetie. You take them on walks, you feed them? Yes, that's kind of like how my wife takes care of me sometimes. What's another way that you take care of pets? Yeah. Give them water, feed them, take them on a walk. It's important that we need exercise. It's important that they're safe, that they're warm in the winter. Yes, we want to be sure that we're taking good care of our pets. I never had a pet, but our kids have pets. They have mice. They have gerbils, they have hamsters, they have bunnies, they have guinea pigs, they have all these pets that they keep in little cages, and none of the pets run around the house, which my wife and I like. We like that the pets are all, they get to take care of their pets, and they get to buy their own pet food for them. They get to make sure their water is changed, that their bedding doesn't start stinking a lot. And you know what? When our kids are in a bad mood and fighting with each other, that's what we do in America. Sometimes our kids fight together, We get out the pets, and all of a sudden, the kids forget about the things they were mad about because the pets are there, and they realize that we can have fun with our pets even though we don't always like each other. And so I never had a pet growing up, a long, long time ago, but we never had cats, we never had dogs, but I did have something that was very special to me. And recently, I was looking through a lot of boxes in my storage room. And you know what? That's a dangerous place to go. You can't go there quickly because then you start finding all this cool stuff that you forgot about. And you went to clean out the place and then you end up spending 4 days in there and you have a bigger mess than you ever started off with. So I was digging through all of these old books and old papers from when I was a kid and drawings that I did and papers that I had written and notes that I had. And I was reaching down into this box full of books. And I touched something soft, and I'm like, uh-oh. And I pulled out something that I hadn't seen in a long, long time. And it was my teddy bear from when I was 4 years old. And my teddy bear, I thought that was gone. I hadn't seen that in a long, long time, many, 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 many years. And I thought it was long gone, but it was in the bottom of this box. And I pulled it out. And you know what I named my teddy bear? Ted. Creativity was weak in the 70s, okay? And I pulled him out, but Ted doesn't look like a teddy bear anymore. You want to see Ted? Okay, I bet you do. This is Ted. Ted used to be really furry. Ted used to have a nose. I would go to my cousin's house. I had two girl cousins. Never trust a girl cousin, okay? No, I just, no. I mean, well, let me tell you. Because they liked Ted. They liked Ted as much as I did, except here's what they wanted to do with Ted. I wanted to cuddle with Ted. My cousins, they wanted to pick the hair, the fur off of Ted, and put it in their mouth and swirl it around their mouth. They wanted to pick the fuzz off of Ted and eat it. What's the mess? That man, that was before the right medications were invented, I think, you know. Whenever we went to Grandma's house and my cousins were there, they would take Ted and I would have to keep close eye on Ted because they would take him. All of a sudden, Ted would be missing patches of hair. As you notice, my cousins got the best of Ted over the years, you know. It's okay, buddy. This is Ted, and he's very fragile, very frail, but I don't want anything to change about him. I have so many memories of him, and I didn't have any pets, but I took Ted with me wherever I went. And when I went to a sleepover, even when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, I would put Ted in the bottom of my pillow because I didn't want anybody to kind of know that I was still bringing a stuffed animal to my sleepovers, but at the very end of the night, when all the lights were off, I could reach into my pillow. My friends wouldn't see, and I would pull out Ted, and we would cuddle the whole night long. And you know when you're at a sleepover, you're the one to wake up first. It's those awkward 3 hours in the morning where you're just sitting there in a strange house and nobody else is awake, you know, and you're just kind of, you're waiting for your friend to wake up and nobody's there, nobody's waking up. So when the sun would come up in the morning, I'd just tuck Ted right back down in the pillow, and he was my traveling companion for many, many years. I took good care of him. Well, there was somebody else who took care of animals, lots of animals. Took care of a lot of sheep. Does anyone know what do you call someone that takes care of a lot of sheep? Yes, sir. A shepherd. Yes, he takes care of sheep. He takes care of a lot of sheep, maybe hundreds of sheep. Now, I can't imagine what that would be like to take care of so many sheep. And you know what? Those sheep need that shepherd because they don't know where to go. They will fall into a pond and drown if the shepherd isn't leading them every step of the way. They will eat dirt if the shepherd doesn't lead them to grass. The sheep don't have the biggest brains, but they need the shepherd to lead them and to guide them. Well, I brought not only my favorite stuffed animal, but I brought my favorite book. And I want to read to you guys. I know, I see some of you have Bibles. I like that. 1 Samuel, this is in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about Samuel. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord spoke to Samuel. Samuel was a prophet, okay? Samuel listened to God, and he spoke God's words. And can you imagine? Samuel knew what God wanted to say, and he had the job of going and telling people what God wanted them to what God wanted to say to them. So Samuel got the job from God to go choose a king. There were a whole group of people. They didn't have a king. They didn't have a leader. They didn't have somebody that was in charge, and these people wanted it. But Samuel said, okay, God, where do I look? And God said, go to the man named Jesse's house in Bethlehem. When you go there, he has a whole bunch of sons. The king will be there. Well, Samuel had heard a little bit about Jesse, so the old prophet started working his way down to Bethlehem, and he kind of said, we're going to have a sacrifice. So he brought Jesse and his family there, and he didn't tell anybody what he was doing. But they kind of got the idea if the prophet was coming to town that they wanted to look good. So all of these brothers got together. Now, these were big boys. These were fighters. These were workers. These were farmers. These were tall, handsome men. And they wanted to impress Samuel. Well, then they found out that Samuel was there to choose a what? A king. He was there to choose a king. So these guys are looking fine. They're looking good. They want to be picked. And God brought Samuel to that place, and he looked at all of these great men. And here's what Samuel said. Well, let's look. In verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, they trembled. And when they met him, they said, do you come in peace? Samuel said, yes, I come in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. All right, and then we're going to look at verse 6. And this is where it gets interesting, and I don't want you guys to miss it. When they arrived, this is all the sons, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, that's a weird name. No, that's not what it says. And thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here. And just as he was about to pick out one of these men to be the king, God spoke to Samuel. And he said, wait, don't look at his appearance or his height, because I've rejected that one. That's not the one. And God told this to Samuel. Man looks at the outside appearance, but God looks at the heart. Well, then Jesse was the father, and he was excited because all of a sudden one of his boys was going to be the king, and the strongest one was there, and God said, mm-mm. And then there was the tall one, then there was the worker, and the fighter, and the farmer, and every time Samuel went up to these guys, God would say, nope, not that one. Nope, nope, nope. And Samuel got to the end of the line, and things got really awkward. God, you told me to come here. You told me there'd be a king. I'm looking at all of these fine-looking fellas, and you're saying, this isn't going to look good. So Samuel got himself together and he says in verse 10 or in verse 11, he asked Jesse, are these all of the sons that you have? And the brothers started to giggle because there was one more. And Jesse said, well, there is still the youngest, but he's out watching the, what kind of animal was he in charge of? He was watching the sheep. Well, Samuel said, well, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was young, with a fine appearance and handsome features. The Lord told Samuel, rise and anoint him. He is the one that's going to be the next king. And all of these brothers, the oldest, tallest, strongest, hardest working brothers, were there. And God chose the youngest to be the king. What? That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem fair. Now those brothers' giggles went to anger and they were mad. What? And right there in front of all of his bigger brothers, God anointed David, the shepherd boy, to be the king. Oh my goodness. Well, do you remember what I said? People look at the outside, but God looks at the inside. At the inside, or the heart. And here's the thing with David. All of these men wanted to look good. David didn't want to look good. David wanted to do the right thing. And God knew that if he could trust David with all of those sheep, that maybe David would be faithful enough to take care of people. Because David protected those sheep from bears and lions. And eventually David would be the one that would kill a giant named Goliath. God knew that there was something inside of David that he wanted in a shepherd. And this shepherd boy, in one moment, went from being a shepherd to being a king. Okay, so I'm going to show you guys something. This is where you're going to have to pay attention, because I'm going to play you a song. But I'm going to need you to watch, because we're going to watch this story. And we're going to see a whole bunch of different characters come out. And I want to see if you can pay close enough attention to follow along. All right, are you guys ready? All right, let's see here. Chris, I'm going to start this up here. Cue the awkward silence. Check. Okay. All right, here we go. Watch closely.
Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. Each one passed except the last. No one thought to call him, for surely he a shepherd boy, God may see a king, even though your life seems filled with ordinary things. In just a moment, he can touch you. Sometimes it's hard to understand, and things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. see a king.
It doesn't matter how big you are, how talented you are, how smart you are, how fast you are. People look at what's on the outside. God looks at the heart. And you know what? God wants to pour his heart into each one of us. Yesterday, we spent the whole day talking about how wonderful the church is, but it's not this building. The church is the people, and the people are us. Yes, and this is supposed to be a place of belonging, of healing, and hope. The church is not supposed to be a religious institution that's all about education and programs and events. Those things are not wrong. But if we're missing helping people feel like they belong and like there's a place where they can be healed and where there's a place that they can find hope, then we're missing the most important stuff. David was the shepherd boy who became a king. Well, my daughter surprised us one day. Ooh, now I got people's attention. It's not as exciting as you think. And she was going into the kitchen. She was in the hurry and going past the kitchen, and she was running into the bathroom. And as she went around the corner, she was in such a hurry that she stubbed her little toe on the door frame as she went in. And, oh, she fell down and just fell. And she was in so much pain. She was in so much pain she couldn't even cry. She was just, oh, and man, there's nothing like when you hit your little toe against a solid wall and you just can't move. And immediately, some of our family members came to the rescue. Well, they thought they were coming to the rescue. They came, and all of a sudden, Mary, our other daughter, came, and she's like, "What happened? What happened, Hannah? What happened?" Hannah's laying there on the floor. "What happened?" And, oh! And then Levi, her older brother, comes in, and he says, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And then Sarah, mom, comes in. She's like, "What can I do? What can I do to help?" And you know, this poor girl is just in pain. She doesn't have the ability to tell what happened. She doesn't want to figure out what people can do to help. And she doesn't want, you know, "I'm not okay." She's just there, just in pain. Has anyone ever stubbed their toe? Oh, it's not fun. Oh. So I came into that room, and I saw her, and I saw all of these questions from these people that loved her very much. But Hannah wasn't able to answer any of those questions. She was just laying on the ground, and it's just so much pain. Oh, oh. And I did what my mom used to do with me when I was hurt. I asked the rest of these well-meaning people at the doorway to be quiet for a moment. And I went into that bathroom. "Hey, buddy, can you move over? Move over. Awesome sauce." I went into Hannah, and I just curled my body around hers, and I just held her. And when she moaned, I would moan. And when she said, "Oh, I just hit my foot on that wall," and I hit that wall, I said, "Oh, Hannah, I am so sorry." And she'd be like, "Oh," and I'd be like, "Oh." I wasn't the one that hurt my foot. But Hannah didn't need questions at that time. She just needed someone to be with her while she was going through that pain. And you know, this church is supposed to be a place of healing. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to be perfect. In fact, if we thought that we were perfect, it wouldn't be perfect because we were here, because we're not perfect. But it's a place of healing. It's a place where we can be with people in their time of pain. We don't have to have all the answers, but if we let people know that they belong, that this is a place where I can be with you in your pain and you can find healing, that is good. Something that we talked about yesterday was community. This church is a community. It's the body of Christ. It's a family. And it's kind of like our own families. And our own families are not perfect. Our own kids get naughty sometimes. Mom and dad fight sometimes. Our own family doesn't have it all together. And that's okay, because that's what God's family is like. It's not perfect, but we have hope. So here's the beautiful thing about coming together as a family. Some people... Now, kids, I'm curious. Do you like hanging out with your friends? Raise your hand if you like hanging out with your friends. Okay, good. All right. I think even us grown-ups like hanging out with our friends. Well, instead of coming all together and looking to each other to meet our needs or to share all of our prayer requests or to share how hard life is or how bad my marriage is or how difficult this is or how much money we're lacking, sometimes when we get in together and with other Christians, it's like exhausting. Because it's like, oh my goodness, well now let's pray. I don't have any faith left after all the horrible things that are going on. Well, here's what God invites us to do. God invites us to read his word, to know the Bible, to pray by ourselves so that we get to know Jesus more and more and more. And when we get to know Jesus more and more and more, and then when we come together, we're not just bringing all of our problems, we're bringing Jesus. And when a group of people, the body of Christ, the family of God, brings Jesus together, when we gather together on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or at an event or something like that or at a meal, it's wonderful. It's not that we don't have problems, but it's our focus is not on our problems anymore. And our focus is not about how each one of us drive each other crazy. It's about Jesus is awesome and we all need him. So that's when the church not only becomes a place of belonging where it's a safe place for a family, a place for healing where we can find strength in our pain, but it's a place of hope. So kids, I got to tell you about one more person. There was a shepherd who became a king. Thank you. It was her. But she feels blessed. And I want to tell you about a king who became a shepherd. See, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, who was the king. Jesus lived in heaven with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He ruled and reigned. Jesus was there when the whole earth was created. He was there knowing what you were going to look like and be like before you were even born. He was the king of everything. But yet God sent him to earth so that he could be our shepherd. Now, a shepherd isn't very exciting, because remember, sheep aren't very smart. Wait a minute. If we're the sheep and you're saying sheep aren't very smart, are you saying that we're not very smart? Those sheep know enough to stay alive once in a while, but they are helpless without their shepherd. And you know what? We might have what we got, what we need to stay alive for a little while, but we are helpless without our shepherd. And our shepherd came from heaven as a king to be our shepherd, and that's Jesus. Well, Jesus came not only to show us the way, but he came to be the way. And I'm going to tell you about two more kids. You ready? Kids, why don't you stand up for a second? You can stretch out a little bit, okay? I need you for about 8 more minutes. Okay? Okay? There we go. So these two boys came with their dad. Their dad's name was Simon. Simon came, they came to Jerusalem to sacrifice a lamb. Yes, they came to sacrifice the lamb and to celebrate at a festival. How many like to celebrate? How many like birthday parties? How many like holidays? How many like food? Oh my goodness, this is getting better and better and better, okay? All right. These guys came to celebrate, but when they came to the city, something was very different. And they ended up finding out that this was actually a time where this king who had become a shepherd, whose name was Jesus, was about to be killed on a cross. And all of a sudden, they came to celebrate, and they found themselves in the midst of a horrible situation. I want you to watch and see what happens. You may sit down.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. For there will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. Told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. Now when we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, now they come. The first one cried for mercy, the people gave him none. The second one was violent, he was arrogant and loud. I still can hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, there's Jesus. I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross, falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "You carry his cross." At first, I tried to resist him. Then and his hand reached for his sword. So I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them." Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. I stood for what seemed like years. I'd lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us. What have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand." So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. Then I said, "Dear children, watch.
The Bible says that Jesus was bruised and broken for our sin, that he died on that cross, not because he had to, but because he chose to. You see, God showed us his love when Jesus died on that cross. God gave his only son to be punished in a way that he didn't deserve, to give us a reward that we didn't deserve. And that award is forgiveness of our sin and a friendship with God. God showed us his love when Jesus died on the cross, and he showed us his power when he rose Jesus from the grave. Would you mind just closing your eyes with me for a moment? Kids, adults, teenagers, everybody. God doesn't need you to be perfect. He needs you to be you, and he wants to walk out your life with you. He wants to take you on an adventure that is greater than anything you've ever explored, as an individual and as a church. But the only way we can enter into that adventure is to know that Jesus died for you to make Jesus your Lord and your leader. When I was 16 years old, I finally said yes to making Jesus my leader. And my life has never been boring since. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray a prayer, kind of like the one that I prayed when I was a teenager. And I want to invite each one of us, if you'd like to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you, to thank him for the cross, and to make you friends with God, I want to invite you to pray that prayer with me. If you've already prayed and you've asked Jesus to be the leader of your life, I want you to help those of us who might be doing that for the first time. And I think there's probably a good handful of us in this room that just need a good refresher. God, I know a lot about you, but I need you to be in charge. So I'm going to pray little sentences, and I'm going to invite you to pray and repeat them with me, if that's something that you'd want to do with those of us that are helping us. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for dying on the cross. Even though you don't deserve it, thank you for saving me. Would you forgive me of my selfishness and my sin? I want to be friends with God, and I want Jesus to be my leader. Cleanse my heart and take me on an adventure. Be the center of attention in everything that I do. Amen. Amen. Amen, my brother. Woo! Now we're getting Southern Baptist. Oh, my. Well, Daniel and the team, kids, you guys are awesome. Very, very awesome. I am so glad to have been part of this church family this weekend. I'm so glad to have gotten to know so many of you. I look forward to the next time we can come back north of the border and be with you guys again. So, Pastor Daniel, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Love you. Love your heart. Thank you for sharing it with us. We so appreciate it. In closing, our life is not about having it together, doing ministry. Our life is about letting what has been deposited inside of us come forth and shine out by the way we love, care, spread him around with other people. So, put on your wrinkled shirt when you get up in the morning. Go out and love on people. Don't get so caught up with yourself that you're trying to get that jar of clay, that cracked pot all together, so there's nothing that can be seen but you. When people see him, when he is shared, hearts are touched and lives are changed. And he is our only hope and answer. And that is so good. I see a room full of kings, full of him. And I am so excited what God has in store for us. Bless you. This wasn't part of the plan, but God's plan is better. If you've been blessed, if you want to participate in blessing Dave and Sarah, we took up an offering for them yesterday at the conference. If you weren't here and you want to participate in that, just write Father's Hearts Conference on an envelope, and we'll get that to join the offering from yesterday to go along to bless them. So you have that opportunity as well. One of the ushers just can be available with a plate at the back door. There when you go through, you have the opportunity to join us in that. Bless you. Love you. We will see you next week again.